podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 26 to 31 of Genesis 1. If you have your pew Bible, that's still on page 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. And follow along as I read. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our creator, and you saw fit, Lord, to create us in your image, in your likeness, to accomplish your will in this world. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of that truth today and what it means to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have been looking at the bricks of our faith. Very important that the foundation of our faith be solid and that these things that we believe in, that are foundational truths, that they be solid and that our faith in them not begin to crumble. First week we looked at the fact that there is a God. God exists, and he is, according to what we talked about last week, the God who has spoken through his word, the Bible. And now this week we look at the fact that not only is there a God who has spoken, but this God who has spoken has created you. He has created you to be his image bearer. And right here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, tells us that when God created human beings, man and woman, he created them in his image and according to his likeness. And those Hebrew words are interesting because the image of God in man, that word image means a shadow. It's almost as if man is God's shadow on this earth. But the likeness, very similar to image, in fact, the words are almost synonymous. It means the resemblance of that shadow. So in other words, you look at a shadow and say, "Well, look, there's the shadow of that tree." But if you say that it's the likeness, Hebrew language, you're saying, "Boy, that shadow looks exactly like that tree." So the image and the likeness both refer to the shadow, but the likeness is that shadow bears resemblance to the figure of the original. God created us to be his shadows on the earth. We are to bear his resemblance in this world. We are image bearers. And image bearing, first of all, is our distinction as human beings. Men and women are created in the image of God. No other creatures on the face of this earth, according to the Word of God, were created in the image of God. Now, the Word of God teaches us that you can see a little bit of God in everything that he has created. You can learn about his beauty and his care and his love. You can learn a whole lot about God by looking at his creation. But there was only one aspect of his creation that was created in his image and in his likeness, placed on this earth to be his shadow, and that is human beings, you and me. We are God's unique and special creation. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, He created a masterpiece. Nothing like that has ever existed or will ever exist in the records of all time. God created beings that are like Himself in some way. Beings that can think and reason. Beings that can plan and carry out those plans. Beings that can recognize beauty. Beings that can recreate beauty of their own. Beings that feel deeply emotions. Beings that have the capacity to worship God and to love Him and to serve Him. Beings that have the capacity to love one another and to live in community and harmony. And as a human being, you bear the image and the likeness of Almighty God. You are a valuable and beautiful creation of God's. Look at a couple verses with me. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 15. The psalmist writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Now, David is talking here about the fact that God has specially created him fearfully and wonderfully, and that everything that God does is wonderful. Boy, that we would apply this to our hearts and to our lives this morning. That God has known us since the beginning, and that God formed us and created us within our mother's wombs, that God knows us completely, and He loves us just the way that we are, and we are wonderful creations of God. God's creation of mankind was kind of like the exclamation point at the end of His creation. The end of that sixth day, He said, "Now that I've created everything that's good, I will create man, and now everything will be very good." The exclamation point on His creation. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed." Why is that? Why is it that human life has value? For in the image of God has God made mankind. See, what was important here is this. Understand, no matter what you believe today about the death penalty, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Old Testament, judgment, whatever, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about this morning is this. That human life is valuable. All human life is valuable because it is created in God's image, in God's likeness. Mankind is special. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5. "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." This echoes what was said in Genesis chapter 1, that when God created human beings, He created us in His image and His likeness and gave us dominion and rule over this world, that He put us in charge. He said, "Look, I'm going to create this beautiful world, but this world's going to need maintenance, and I'm going to put man and woman in this world, and it's going to be their job to care for it." And God crowned men and women with glory and honor. That might make us a little uncomfortable because, see, we as Christians say, well, you should worship God and not man. But at the same time, we're not called as Christians to stomp all over man. We need to recognize that God created us to be His representatives here and crowned us with glory and honor, made us the ruler over the works of God's hands, that we have stewardship and responsibility in this world because of God who created us. And then look at James chapter 3, verse 9. If it's wrong for us to kill another man, what about lashing them with our tongue and with our words? James wrote, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness." Obviously, James is saying this is not the way it should be. We shouldn't be tearing one another down with our tongues. Why? Because we are all created in the likeness and the image of God. We all have great value in the eyes of God. You know, we church people have the tendency to puff ourselves up with pride and look down on the rest of the world because they don't worship God the way that we do, and they don't live their lives according to His will, and they don't care about what God wants for them. And so sometimes we judge them. We talk about them as if they're evil. We talk about the mess that men and women are making of this world and how the human race is going to hell and what a terrible situation we have in this world and in this culture. But what we often forget is that what we share in common with every person on the face of the earth is this. Each and every one of us has been created in the image and likeness of God. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter how young or how old. It doesn't matter what continent you were born on, what color your skin is. None of that matters. What matters is this. If you are a human being, even if you have your mental capacity is not the same as others, even if you were born with a handicap, doesn't matter. If you are a human being, you have been created in the image and the likeness of God, and you are special. You are special, and there's value in your life. Every human life has meaning and purpose. We are all God's image bearers, put here to reflect Him, to shadow Him, to be a mirror of Him here in this world. Now, what difference does that make? This brick that we're talking about this morning called man. Who cares that God created man in His image? Well, it's a difference in worldviews. The bricks of our faith tell us that there is a God and that He created us with dignity and purpose and meaning, that the work that we do and the lives that we live, they mean something here in this world, and that we are to be a reflection of who God is, and we are responsible to Him, and we are grateful to Him for every breath that we draw, for the lives that we live. But, you know, the other worldview, the worldview that denies the existence of God, has to settle for the idea that there's no purpose for our existence at all. I mean, if we just showed up here on this planet by accident, there's no real purpose for our lives. There's no real meaning or direction. We're like a quarter that's been dropped by the side of the road. And a rich man walks by, sees it, and thinks to himself, should I even pick it up? Well, he stoops over, he picks it up, and he puts it into his already heavy pocket filled with coins, and it disappears with the rest. Does it really have any meaning in his richness and in his wealth? It's just lost with all the rest. But compare that to a quarter that's held in the warm little hand of a preschool child, given to the child by its mother, destined for the next gumball machine. Now that quarter has meaning and purpose and love and direction. That is a special quarter. You see, if we're just accidents, our work and our worship has no ultimate meaning whatsoever. We're just here, just do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Do whatever crosses your mind, you know. Don't worry about what others think. Don't worry about what God thinks if He doesn't exist. Our lives are not leading toward anything. We live for today. We don't know exactly why we're here. We're disposable as human beings. Life really doesn't matter. And so we fall into the problems that come with that type of mindset. That those who are born with a handicap perhaps shouldn't have been born at all. That those who are in the womb that, you know, aren't going to be cared for properly should just be aborted. That those at the end of their life who've reached a point where their existence doesn't matter to anyone, they should just be put to sleep. That life doesn't matter and it's not worth a thing. If we're just placed here by accident, then why not? It makes sense. You see, we recognize that we have a God, all-powerful God, who created you and me for a purpose with a plan and a design and meaning. He loves us and cares for us. And no matter what our life looks like today or what it's looked like in the past, God knows what He has planned for us, and He has put us here. Praise God that we are created by Him in His image and for His purposes. Number two is image bearing is our design. It's not just our distinction, it's our design. Because after God created the heavens and the earth and all the creatures of the earth, He created men and women. He placed them in this world to be His representatives, to do His work. He created human beings in His image and in His likeness to populate the earth. and to have dominion over the animals and to rule and to care for and to tend for the over the garden, to rule this world as his representatives. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 28 that we read earlier says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. To perfectly accomplish his will is to keep order in this world, to reflect his image in this world, and to work for him. Well, think about how that works. First of all, God is love. Right? We recognize that God is love. He designed us to be his love here in this world. If we reflect his image, then it is our job to love. And that goes for all of God's characteristics. God is righteous and true. He created us to be righteous and true here in this world that he created. We are to be the gods, small g, the rulers of this world. But you know, along the way, something very tragic happened. We stepped beyond the plan that God had for us to be his rulers here in this world. And we used the free will that he gave to us, that great gift that he gave to us to make decisions. Men and women decided to walk away from God and from his design. And as a result of that, the image of God has been distorted in us. Image bearing is distorted by sin. God created men and women to be his ambassadors in this world. That's our job, to be his ambassadors in this world. Now, when the United States as a nation sends an ambassador to a foreign country, that ambassador is to represent the values and the interests of the United States in that foreign country. You understand that no matter what foreign country you go to. You could be the ambassador to China, to Canada, to Mexico, to Chile. When you go to that foreign country, you bring with you the values and the interests of the United States of America, and that is your job to represent the United States of America as an ambassador in that country. Now, if an ambassador decides to quit representing the interests of the United States and not live according to the values of the United States, begins to do whatever he wants for his purposes, such as sell guns in a foreign country when he should be representing the values of the United States, such as get involved in all sorts of evil and in child labor and in sexual sins in another country as an ambassador of the United States, he's failed to be a proper ambassador. He's no longer good at his job. He needs to be replaced. Well, you know, when Adam and Eve fell to the temptation of Satan, they made a decision to stop bearing the image of God and to attempt to take God's place in this world. No longer will we rule according to what God wants us to do and to be, but we're going to do it our own way. We're going to be our own gods in this world. We're going to talk a little bit more next week about sin, but we need to recognize that God has designed us to bear his image and that the sin that resides within us has distorted that image. It's made it difficult for us to truly bear his image, but we still bear the image of God, even as sinners. Even the worst of sinners still bears within them a modicum of the image of God. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Now, why do you think the writer of the book of Genesis took such care to use the same exact words about Seth being created in the image and the likeness of Adam that he did about man being created in the image and the likeness of God? Same words. It's because each human being that is born on the face of this earth continues to bear the image and the likeness of God as they are born in the image and the likeness of their father, who was born in the image and the likeness of God, as we extend that chain backwards to the beginning of time. We are all created in the image and the likeness of God as human beings. You know, there are six passages in Scripture that teach clearly that men and women are created in the image of God, and four out of six of those passages were written about life after the fall of mankind, after sin entered the world. So we are still image bearers even after sin has come into this world. We may not be very good at image bearing. It may be difficult for us to do because of our sin, but we still bear the image of God as people in this world, saved and unsaved. Now, if we want to know what a person who perfectly bears the image of God looks like, we must look at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because image bearing is displayed by Christ. The perfect image of God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. The God of this age, talking about Satan now, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The word used there is icon, image, that he is a reflection of God, very similar to what we find in the book of Genesis in the Hebrew. This is the Greek word icon. It says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ. So the picture that we have here is that Jesus Christ, according to Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians, is the image, the spitting image, you might say, of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, Jesus Christ is the invisible God made visible. That when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a visible God. John chapter 14, verses 8 to 9 says, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Philip said, "Show us God. We want to see the Father, Jesus." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, look, I am the perfect image, the spitting image of God. When you look at me, you look at God, the perfect image of God. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Here the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the glory of God. You know, man was created to be a shadow of God. But Jesus is kind of like the high-definition IMAX 3D perfect representation of God. And that's because Jesus is not just fully man. Jesus is fully God. When you look at Jesus, you look at God. And you know, that should be our desire as believers in Jesus Christ. Image-bearing is our desire as believers. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and then rose again from the dead, he did that in order to reverse the sin that had taken place in this world and to give us, as image bearers, the opportunity to put our faith in him, be saved from our sin, and to recover the perfect image that we were given from the beginning. This is kind of like a recovery effort that we're involved in as believers in him. When we came to faith in him, he set us back on the road to recovering the image of God in which we were created. And that should be our desire as believers, to become more and more and more like our God, like our Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What it says is that all believers, those are the ones that God foreknew and predestined, he predestined us with this purpose, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might look just like Jesus, the way that we live our lives, to recover the image of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the pattern of growth that we as believers in Jesus Christ have established. Day by day, we're being transformed more and more into the image of God and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So the New Testament speaks time and time and time again of the fact that we as believers in Jesus Christ are on this journey with this responsibility to recover the image of God that was distorted in us because of our sin. Our purpose as believers in Jesus Christ is to mirror Him in this world, to be His reflection. We are to value the things that Jesus values. We're to be concerned about the things that concern Him, to be loving and caring and sacrificial and life-giving, just as Jesus is. It's even more important for us to do that in the world that we live in today, where the other image bearers are not bearing God's image. It's so important for us as believers to bear God's image. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And only those who are created in the image of God and recovering that image and saved by faith in Him have the capacity to do the will of God and to accomplish these good works. Beautiful song was written by Reba Rambo and Donnie McGuire. I'll read the words to the song. "I used to think how wonderful to have been here on the earth when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of human birth. Oh, but nothing could exceed the view of seeing Jesus born in you. I'd never long for yesterday again. I see Jesus in your eyes, and it makes me love you. I feel Jesus in your touch, and I know He cares. I hear Jesus in your voice, and it makes me listen, and I trust you with my love because you're His. I see Him in you. I used to think how wonderful to meet Him in the air. Oh, how great that mansion He's preparing over there. But now I've come to understand the Father's perfect master plan. The place He longs to build is right in you. I see Jesus in your eyes, and it makes me love you. I feel Jesus in your touch, and I know He cares. I hear Jesus in your voice, and it makes me listen. And I trust you with my love because you're His. I see Him. I see Him in you." Now that is our desire as believers in Jesus Christ, to reflect the image of Jesus Christ to those in our world. Imagine how powerful that would be if we were living according to that design. If in all of our relationships, whether they be at home or out in at school, at work, wherever it is that we go, in all of those relationships, if people could see Jesus living through us. You know, not that we would walk around with a robe and a beard and sandals and all. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the attitudes that Jesus had, the concerns and the cares that were His, the love that shone through His eyes, the godliness, the righteousness. If we could live our lives like Jesus lived His life, just as if Jesus were living in us, what would it look like if Jesus were living your life? How would it change the dynamics of your family, of your marriage, of relationship with your children right now? How would it change the dynamics of your relationships at work? How would it change the way that you look at unbelievers? How would it change the way you look at the news when you watch it at night and you see the things that are happening in this world? If you were looking through the eyes of Jesus and if you had His heart, what would change? So how are you doing reflecting the image of God in this world? This is the heart of the mission of the believer in Jesus Christ. I mean, you can be famous and wealthy and healthy, and you can be physically ripped, and you can be talented, and you can be educated and respected and loved. I mean, you can be the greatest gift that God has placed on this planet. But if you are not reflecting the image of God and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ to those around you, you are not fulfilling the purpose for your life. It doesn't, any of those other things don't matter in comparison to this. The reason that God has placed you and I in this world, and the reason that He has saved us by His grace, is so that we can reflect Him in this world. And if we're not living for that purpose, well, we're living for secondary purposes, aren't we? We're not who He's called us to be. In the end, God's intent for all of us would be that we would recover His image and reflect it to the world around us. And not just for today, but for all eternity, because number 6, image bearing is our destiny. Look at these two verses. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus." Now this is talking about future. It's talking about the end times, that for all eternity it will be our job to continue to bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The time when Christ returns, bingo, zingo, we all are just like Jesus. Now, not physically, not going to walk around and say, "Boy, you look like Jesus." It's you are going to be the representation of God that you were created to be. His shadow, His likeness, just as He created you. And boy, we look forward to that day. But man, let's not wait till that day, because we need to be the image and the likeness of God in this world right now. Because this world desperately needs you to be the best image and likeness of Jesus Christ that you can possibly be. And if you're not being that, you're letting everybody down. You're letting yourself down. You're letting your neighbors down. You're letting your family down. If you're not doing your best to reflect the image of God and to be Christ-like in your attitudes and in your actions. Just looking at that outline for just a moment, perhaps one of the greatest definitions of who God is, if we're going to give a definition for who God is simple, one word, love. If God is agape, unconditional, no strings attached, love, that He pours out on all people. If that is a great definition of who God is and what He does is love, then if we as men and women have been created in the image and likeness of God, and if Jesus Christ came to save us, to restore that image and to help us to recover that image gradually, then it should be our job to do what? To love as God loves. To be His reflection in this world of love. It is our distinction to be the greatest lovers that this world has ever known. It is our design to stand out in the course of this life that we live as those who love. Now, sin distorts that image, and it's difficult to love others when we're so obsessed with loving ourselves, but image bearing is displayed by Christ, and we have the perfect picture of love if we would just look at Him and the way He lived His life in this world, and then we can apply it to ourselves as believers and say, "How can I love better in the image of God?" We can pray a prayer that says, "Dear God, by Your Holy Spirit, give me the power to be able to reflect Your image and Your likeness in this world. Help me, Lord, to love like You love. Give me the ability, Lord, to reflect Your love in the relationships around me," recognizing that for all eternity we will bear that image, the image of our God in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for who You are, and Lord, for the importance that You have invested in us. Father, I know that if You were to come right now and stand in this room, Lord, that the thing that would impress us the most would not be Your anger, Your judgment, Your wrath, but Father, it would be the beauty of Your love for us. And Father, thank You that You have created us in Your image and in Your likeness, that as human beings we are special in this world, Lord, that You have given us great responsibility and meaning and dignity and purpose in our lives matter. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one in this room, Lord, first of all, that we would recognize that we were created in Your image and that our lives are important and valuable. But second, Lord, that we would recognize that that image has been distorted by sin, and we so desperately need Jesus Christ to save us, to forgive us, and to set us back on the road of recovering that image completely. And Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us as believers in You, Lord, that day by day we would live more and more like Jesus Christ, that image would be reflected in us, and Father, that when others would see us, Lord, they would see You. Father, they would understand the love that you have for them because we love them. Lord, give us that mandate. Help us, Father, to leave this place today, cognizant of the fact that we are your shadow in this world, and that wherever our shadow falls, there should be love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.